Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Hoffman Wolf, and I'm the social economy manager at CNET. The province of Quebec is a world leader in the social economy. We're here to highlight some of the innovative things social economy enterprises are doing here, and to meet some of the really cool people involved in them. Today, we're talking to Mariam Koulibaly, the founder of Startup. Today's episode is a bit different. Startup is a nonprofit itself, but it also helps immigrant women launch their own social economy enterprises. They're a pretty fascinating player in the province of Quebec's social economy ecosystem, as they've found a success with a niche that many of the other organizations haven't tapped into. We'll discuss Startup's beginnings, the challenges in getting immigrant women to embrace the concept, and also how they serve more needs than just how to start a social economy enterprise. We're joined today by Mariam Koulibaly. She is the CEO of Startup, which is an organization whose goal is to raise awareness and support women towards entrepreneurship and the social economy. Mariam, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
We've met in a few different occasions, and it's always interesting to kind of hear everything that Startup has to do, and whether it's both entrepreneurship and also social entrepreneurship. So I've been impressed by the growth, and I thought you'd be really interesting to talk to chat a little bit more on the podcast. Can you give a little bit sort of your background and how you got into doing what you do here with Startup?
I was born and raised in Ivory Coast. It's called the country of hospitality. So I like to welcome people and help them. So that's the beginning of everything. And then I spent 17 years in France, in Paris exactly, where I've learned project management, starting a business, because I knew that I wanted to start my own business. So when we arrived, my husband and I, in Montreal in 2009, there were a vibrant ecosystem, entrepreneurial ecosystem. So I knew that, so we stay in Montreal, and I had at that time the opportunity to start my own business in 2011. At that time, it was called Relève Gestion, for helping entrepreneurs from cultural entrepreneur to write their business plan. And then by helping them, we landed having some contract of training business plan. And also we help nonprofit organization to stay sustainable. And as we succeeded, I realized that there were a great need for feminist nonprofit organization to be sustainable, because I have seen like five or six organization who closed between 2020 and 2024.
And what were you seeing that caused these organizations to close? Was there anything that was common among all of them?
First of all, helping women is like it's the same thing in entrepreneurship that in political. It's a long way. You have to dig. You have in self-confidence. You have to be patient. And sometimes it's hard to find the money, because you have to fit in some cases. People had money at that time because they were doing what we call as launching your business. There were money for that, but for pre-start and for helping women build their confidence, there were no money for that. So it was hard for them. They had to have like 100% their own money. So it was difficult to be, what's difficult. And also the vision, sometimes the way we manage our nonprofit organization, we need more entrepreneurship posture. You know, it's about a business. It's not because it's a nonprofit that we don't have to have a business strategy and looking for a customer and charge enough to be able to pay the rent and the employee and all that. So this is, from my perspective, what was missing. You know, without the vision, there's no provision.
Because I think when we were talking yesterday, you mentioned there are about 230-some organizations serving entrepreneurs in Montreal alone.
Absolutely. In Montreal, 225. In Quebec, it's 600. So you see, it's quite, there is many. So if you want to stay in the game, you have to be relevant. You have to bring something that no one else bring. And also you have to be efficient with the entrepreneur. You cannot fool them. What I like with startup is the fact that we are entrepreneur helping entrepreneur. We are woman helping woman. We are cultural diversity helping cultural. So we know what we're talking about. We know the reality of those women. So that makes us efficient too. And we don't really, we know how hard it is to find a customer, keep him and paying all our, all our bills. So we, and when we find something new in the ecosystem, we're so glad to share it with other, oh, look at what we have seen. This can help you too. So we're just like them. So it's easier to help them.
What services do you offer that maybe some of those other entrepreneurship organizations don't? Or what do you do differently?
At the other, we do training. At the other, we do consultation and coaching. But what can be different is the way also you do it. There is another service which called technical support. I will dig in that in a few seconds. But though we do the same thing, the same training, or no, though we do training like them, but the way we train is not the same way. So the result is not the same. You know, Hoffman, it's very rare to have 100% satisfaction in training.
Right.
But we do have that.
Wow.
Because the way we do it like we wanted to receive it ourselves. I mean, for example, when you have 1 hour training with startup, it's not 1 hour where we just, speaking about something you have to know. No, we split the hour in three. The way we do it is 20 minutes of knowledge, no more. 20 minutes of exercise. So the knowledge, you have to apply the knowledge to your reality for it to be relevant for you. And then we have 20 minutes of sharing with others, and you can have peers help, you know. And this technique is very efficient from what we see. Women like to have a space to talk. They need to have a space also to implement the knowledge. So this is the way we train. So in this way, you don't see the time. We have we used to have like a training for 3 months, and it was like 3 hours twice a week, and people didn't they went until the end, and they were still, oh, it's already, oh, 3 months already passed, because there is a way to do it and make it different. Also the coaching, we're not focused on the project. We're more focused on the entrepreneur, on the wheels, values, goals, you know. And then when she is on her X, the project can be, you know, the project fit with her. Because when it fit with her, she stays longer. Because what makes us do the switch, because before 2018, we were helping women and men, but we've done this switch because we realized that, okay, they need to have self-confidence, they need to be focused on what they are, their identity, and then no matter what the project is, it will succeed. After saying that, okay, we do coaching, training like the other, but a different way, okay? And the thing I'm so proud is technical support. What it is when we do for the entrepreneur, because sometimes training can help you, coaching or consultancy can help you, but sometimes you need someone to do it for you because the time to learn it, the time to implement it, it will be too long. So we do rewrite the business plan for the entrepreneur. Okay, for sure, it's not our idea. So we take from him, from her, all the ideas and we put it in the business way that that value her project. And also we can help with human resources. We help also with board members to recruit the board members. So we do the docket. We make the organization more attractive, and we help them at the first board members meeting to know the rules and everyone responsibilities. So whatever in management company the entrepreneur need, we can do it, and we have many experts that can do. For example, we have a lawyer who can do the legal document and stuff like that.
How did you get involved in entrepreneurship, and that's can be for profit? How did you get involved into adding the social economy and social entrepreneurship into what Startup does?
Yes, I've had it because I've realized that when you go, I'm sorry, I make an African of mine. I like to speak in English.
Go for it.
When you go to a marriage and you are, when you go to a marriage, you're supposed to wear a marriage dress. When you go to a cocktail, you're supposed to wear a cocktail dress. So when you have social impact, you're supposed to have the legal form of social impact to profit it fully. I was an Inc. before. Startup was an Inc. until 2018. And all around us, our network, they were all nonprofit. But when I realized, okay, if we change our legal structure and become a nonprofit, we can be easily partner, because it's hard to be partner with a nonprofit when you are an Inc. I mean, here in Quebec, I don't know the reality in other province, but it was hard to build partnership before. Now it became easy when we became a nonprofit. Also, having this the way of having a budget, what we sell, our services, but also a call for proposal. We have seen so many call of proposal. We would have been so great to apply and realize it, but we could not because we were Inc. So, no, there was many things. And when I realized it, really, it's when I became a CEO of a nonprofit. I have helped to pivot to social economy. And I realized, oh, but it was a woman. They were helping women entrepreneurs. It was exactly what I was doing. They were about to close too. And I said, okay, I will help you. And I managed to flip the business and help this nonprofit to stay alive. And I raised like $300,000. And help them recruit three people, three resources, and that helped this nonprofit organization to stay. And so when I had the time to think of my own business, I said, but this, what I've done for them, I can do it also for my own company and have a bigger impact. And for sure, Hoffman, I didn't know, but someone tell me after, because now we have like many partners, but before it was very hard to have a partnership with another nonprofit. And someone has to be frank with me and say, when you were Inc., we couldn't because we don't know where the money is going. Though you have a social impact and you invest it in the mission, but they don't see, they don't trust, because it's, at the end of the day, it is public fund, so they have to show.
So the social economy is a concept in some ways that's a little bit specific to Quebec, that has a social economy act in the law, and it's very structured, and it's something that is historically, you know, in the sort of white Francophone community, even as English speakers, it's a concept that many people aren't familiar with in the province. On your end, what are some of the barriers and challenges to getting immigrant women involved in social enterprises or to think about starting their business as a social enterprise?
The problem is the way you see it is different the way we see the social fabric. I don't speak for everybody, but in West Africa, in my country, Ivory Coast, there is a strong social fabric. Otherwise, you will perish. There is not the government don't provide social help, social funds. So you have to rely on your family, on your neighbor, and the way we do it informally, but we do it because otherwise it will be hard. So I am the insurance of my family, and my neighbor is my insurance too. We help each other because we don't even know when I will need you or when you will need me. So there is this strong fabric, social fabric. So when we arrive here, it doesn't disappear. The way we do it is we still do it and informally. You see, example, there is this great market called Galbana Market. She is African, and she used her own money to help like 300 merchants to do a trade show, and with her own money to help them raise visibility and all and so on, and sell, etc. Normally, if she was born here, she would have done a structure, go to a social economic pole, but she do it naturally to help her sister because she see her needs. So the first barrier is the fact that we duplicate what we know because we don't know the way to do it here. So there is a need of awareness. That's why we start by awareness to help them. Okay, what you do, it's a social impact. So you should be a nonprofit or co-op to have the best dress have a greater impact. So that is the first thing you don't know. You duplicate what you used to do in your country. Then you don't know the way it is here. Then when you know, you have to pay the lawyer. It is more difficult. Being an Inc. is simple. You go, you register, and then you start your business. But being a nonprofit here in Quebec, you have to. There is a law of social economy, so you have to have your a legal document conform with the law. You have to have a board member at minimum three per, three people, but they say three, but when you show three people, when you want to have some grant, it is three normally in the law, but they rather have, they rather see five or seven people, you know, but it's not written on the law. So all those codes you have to know to achieve, you know, you have to conform to what they are, what they expect to be able to, you know, to get something. Another barrier we see is that social economy is supposed to be about a territory. And I have a problem with that because the way we do social economy in startup is not about a territory, it's about a clientele, it's about a need. And our focus is women immigrant. They don't have the same chance, so we need to help them more. And so wherever they are, in Montreal, in Chicoutimi, Ottawa, we want to help them in their need. And if the difficulty is to be legitimized. With the structure of social economy here, because they are very focused on local territory, and this I don't understand, because we want in economy we want our company to go abroad to do export. So if we want them to do export and to reach other markets, why can't we admit that doing market to province as a social economy, it can be very, very interesting too. So this is a challenge we face in social economic in Quebec.
So you say by territory, you mean that the current focus is very much on how do we support where we live, whether it's...
local, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes. For example, to be concrete, we have entrepreneurs in Estrie, we have entrepreneurs in La Naudière, and we help them, doesn't matter. But then we have to connect her with the local social economic pole. But then she doesn't find what she needs there. She comes back to us. And so finally, we end up helping them from the beginning to the end, because though we want to have the support of the local, it's not easy. The local is good to connect with other organizations, to connect with some grant, etc. But when you have this need of communication, this need of being understood in your business, this is more difficult.
What kind of success stories are there out there, you know, social enterprises who have gone through the process with startup?
What I like is that we surprise people. At the beginning, they were looking at us. I mean, the ecosystem of a social economy. Or it's only 2 years and a half now that we start a startup as a nonprofit. And our first code was a guess, if I can say so. And we achieved. We managed to help those 10 nonprofit organizations to pivot to social economy, and all those Inc. to pivot to social economy. One of our we glad that two of our incubees. They have won the contest Ose Entreprendre of social economy in their region. So we pride. It means that the training was good because they win the contest. And also we proud that there were 10 organizations, and this. Seven of them have received grant, And one of them, I've been Austar. I call them Austar because it's startup. We are helping women who are star to lead the top. One of our star, at the beginning, she had no money and a lot of challenges. Like just 1 year ago, we have done her business plan. We have a call to proposal. We've managed to reach $100,000 for her. And with that, we help them, we help this organization find a place, a office. We help them recruit their first employees. And also we help them with the governance. And really, I'm so glad to see that, okay, 1 year ago, there were nothing. Now they got two employees, now three, now we're speaking. They have a local, it's working. And I remember 1 year ago, she was about to quit because it has been five years that she was, you know, doing it by herself all alone. But having startup in a boat, okay, having startup with her is like having an associate with you. So she calls sometimes and she cries because it's hard. This is what happened with the board members and Anna. Okay, it's going to be okay. Okay, what do you need? Okay, here you need the money. Okay, what can we do to help you? And that makes all the difference. I mean, this is what really important for an entrepreneur to have this support, a concrete support, you know, to see results. Our success is our star success.
You have the Pivot program in startup, which is a longer term incubator. I don't know if you can share a little bit about how does that work and what need does that fill?
Yeah. Pivot is for all those who went to a wedding without a wedding dress. So we help them customize with the right dress. How do we do that? First, you are an Inc. or a communautaire, a non-profit, but with no service or no product to sell. So we have 3 months training, okay, to reset your mind and your practice by meeting the social economic standards of Quebec. So it starts with that, knowing what it is, meeting the ecosystem, because we invite them to share with our stars. So 3 months of knowledge and reframing your business. We do business plan too. And then 3 months with the technical support, okay, paying the lawyer to do all your legal things, paying the accounting, comptable, to do, you know, your numbers. So we pay expert to help you where you need help in your business. And with this makeover, okay, it's like there is a show called Makeover, no?
Yeah, well, it's Extreme Makeover. There's a couple different,
it's,
yeah.
What we do. We do extreme makeover, okay, of the management and of the glow of the project. And then they can be ready to receive money, grant. And also during that time, what is amazing, because there is a peer-to-peer space, they do collaboration. We like three or four go together and do a call for proposal together. There is a lot of collaboration I have seen, and this make me very proud because together we are stronger.
I think you said you have 1,200 is the number of people you've served over the last year since you started?
2023, yes, because how do we do that? We have trained 130 women, but we have reached 175 people. How? Because we do events. And this event, all events are all free because it's our way to to raise awareness of social economy and all that. So our events are free, and through the events we reach a lot of people. We are here in downtown Montreal, Place des Arts. We have a great place where we can do events like, for example, Women Day. We were like more than 100. La Semaine de la Mode de Montréal, so Fashion Week of Montreal. Yeah, we were like 200 and we were 250. You see, those events brought a lot of people to connect with startup and to hear about us. And it is also an opportunity for us to make our star shine, because Fashion Week, we wanted to have a diverse, you know, way, diverse style. So we call it a défilé interculturel. So, there were like three black designer that could show what they do, the African style. So it's important for us because those events help us to spread the good news, but also to let our star shine. Well, and be known.
How do you clients from Chicoutimi, Ottawa, Sherbrooke, how do they find you?
Through the events, because you see it on Eventbrite and you know, oh, it could be good. Okay, let's go. And we always have a photographer. So we put our picture on the social media so people see it. Oh, it looked nice. Next time we'll go there. So this way attract also people. And also when someone has experienced a good relation with us, she speak to a network and that bring also more people. But also the fact that we are not only an incubator of entrepreneur, but an incubator of a group of women. For example, we have, it's called Sortie Entre Elles, women doing dates and visiting Montreal. And brief, it's a way to help newcomers relate, have a relationship and be better. And they have like 9,000 people in their group. So when we incubate this community, we give service also to their network. So that helps us reach more people.
We were talking a little bit about how you'd send clients to their local social economy poll and they didn't feel like they were getting the services they needed. Obviously, that startup has found a very good niche of service when it comes to the social economy. What do you think, without naming names or anything, but what do you think this social economy ecosystem in the province is lacking, or what could it do differently to bring a greater diversity into the social economy movement in the province?
To bring more diversity, you have to be diverse first. And to be diverse, you have to want to be diverse. And to want to be diverse, you have to know about diversity and not be afraid of that, you know? I'm not afraid to say that I can be strange, but when you connect with me, you will appreciate me as a human and no more as a foreigner. But you have to do that step to go and know me. And this is why I like those kind of programs that buy us for us, you know? If you want to have diversity, at least have a little diversity on your team, because someone, she was good. She asked me, how can we, how can I understand someone from your country? It's hard sometimes for me. I said, don't bother trying to understand. Put someone of the country, and you will have, you will not have to. Okay, what does it mean for her? Does she understand it when I say it like that? Sometimes it's easy when you have that diversity in your team because they know the code, you know? So I'm not saying that when we come from abroad, we don't have to adapt also to the new, we have chose Quebec and we adapt. But when we want to do a great match, you know, it's like relationship. Men and women relationship, it's the same like in business relationship. Communication is key. So who is the best person to communicate with this one?
What's next for Startup? Where do you guys want to go when it comes to social economy or anything else you're doing?
What next for us, it's to play more. What I mean, social economy, as we want to bring innovation, you cannot bring innovation by doing the same thing. You have to challenge the ecosystem and bring something new. So it's a playground for us because every year, you know, you mentioned Pivot. It was the first year. Then we had a second year Parcours. Then now on the third year, we have a Cohort Relève. Next year, I don't know, but every year we want to try something new and to stay connected to our network to know, okay, this can be crazy, but let's try it because you need it and we will help you. But as we realize that it was a need for our network, a lot of our women are single, not by choice, because they are busy with their business and it's not easy to find a man that understands that woman leadership and accept that being an entrepreneur is not a regular house. So as we have more men to our event, we have sent a proposal for a matchmaking, but not an event matchmaking, for entrepreneur and woman leaders. It has nothing to do with entrepreneurship, but it has a lot to do with the needs of our entrepreneurs. And you see, this is the way we see things. We're not looking at the business, we're looking at the person. I don't know if you have heard about the book Waffle and Spaghetti. And this is very helpful to understand the way men and women are so different and the way we are and the way we think and the way we do things. Waffle is men because this book says that men are focused. They are focused on one thing. So it's like a waffle, you know, the square. He deals with his square, and when he has finished, he will go to another square and he will deal with the other square. Woman, we are spaghetti. We are spaghetti. Okay, 10 windows open. No, 20. It's exactly 20 on my computer. And most of the time, my husband saying, but this is business. This is not personal. Don't take it personally. When this one says that, I say, how can I not take it personally? It's my person. It's my business. So we make things. And this is one of our challenge when we help women, because you cannot help her with a business when at home is not good, when there is a problem with the child. You know, everything is mixed. So you cannot focus only on the business. So let's talk about, okay, oh, you're single. Okay, it's hard. Okay, it doesn't help you to focus on the big. Let's do an event. Okay, let's do a matchmaking, but not just a matchmaking. So we have Marta, our engineer. She will do the perfect match because at least you have to have a 55% percentage of connection. We have a list with people that we can match together because of the value because of the way they see things. So we do it, but we do it great because we want you, really want you to find the right one. So this is a kind of thing we want to still do, though it's not about entrepreneurship. We don't care. It's okay for us to be different. It's okay for us to do crazy things because at the end, we answer the need of our community. And that's the most important thing for us.
Yeah, people have their other needs met, then they can focus more their business. They have more mental space to devote to their business.
We will reach every year. We want also, okay, we want to innovate in our project, but we want also to reach every year a new province. So now in June, we are going to start in Ottawa to reach Ontario. We have also a project that will start in September in Prince Edward Island, voila. And so we want to grow with connection with other organizations and still helping French-speaking women that want to start her business.
I meant to ask this earlier. What is your sort of business model? Does most of your revenue come from people signing up for your programs? Do you have other outside funding? How does that work?
Okay, at the first year, our business revenue was like 80% selling, but the selling is not selling to individual. I mean, the woman that we have, she paid the coaching or she paid training. Okay, that's like 20% of our revenue. Okay, but the 80% or maybe 70%, because there is like a 10% of the first year, there were 10% of found, okay, like 5,000, something like that. And so the other is the B2B, it's a B2B services. So we do training for other organizations. We do, like, we have a great partner, the Women Economic Council. We do a program of EDI, so we have a partnership for a year, and that helps us to have sustainable revenue. For example, when we sign a contract, it can be 30,000, and you sign another contract with someone else, with another organization, it can be 25,000. You know, those amount together help us be successful. And when we do coaching for an entrepreneur, it's like 100. You know, we have to train a lot of entrepreneurs to have the 25,000 or 30,000. And what we see in our business is to still do those B2B business and be able to make available our services free for our members. You know, all the events are free. Also, for example, our next cohort is free for our members. If you're not a member, you will pay 7,000. You see? So it's right. Better to be a member of startup. So because all the money we managed to have with our business by selling our services, we can make our time available and our other projects available for our members.
Gotcha.
It has been like more than 2 years. Now we are starting to have conversation. At least we are having conversation now, but to be partnership with MEI, because we are helping entrepreneurs and to see how, yes, we are a small business, but we are efficient, we have results, and we can show our results. So we hope to have a partnership with the government. But if don't, it's okay. We still sell. We have autonomous revenue, so we can be independent. And we also do a call for proposal. So when we see a call for proposal matching with our mission, we apply.
Well, Miriam, this conversation has been great. It's always fun to talk to you. I'm so glad we could make time and we could do this. I'm so happy to see, you know, everything the startup's doing and to, I don't want to say disruptor in the sector, but being able to kind of bring a different perspective and a different clientele into the social economy space. It's great. And I'm sure we'll be seeing you around again soon. But thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks so much to Miriam for joining us. And thanks to you for listening. You can find out more about Startop at startop.ca. That's startop.ca. If you want to connect with us or you have an idea for a social economy enterprise to be featured on the show, contact us at info@cnet.ca. That's SEE-NET.ca. We'll see you next time. This podcast project has been made possible with the financial support of the Secretariat aux Relations avec les Québécois d'Expression Anglaise.